Praise God. Thank God for his wonderful word. Father, we thank you that we are found in your presence this afternoon. It gives us such joy to be in your house and to worship you, because there's no other way to live. And Lord, I thank you that we're so privileged to be your children. And I pray as we share this word this afternoon, that you will bring it as good fruit in our hearts, that it will bear forth an abundant harvest, that it will become lifestyle to us, Lord, as we allow you by your Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and as we submit to you, we give you praise. Amen. Amen. Well, thank God for his word. Last week, Helen was talking about the kingdom of God. She was sharing some things about what it means to be in the kingdom of God and the power that's available to us and how we need to be born again to enter into the experience of knowing God. And I was blessed by that. But it set me thinking this week, the kingdom of God in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, it tells us what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the description of the kingdom of God. And when I kept, you know, when you meditate something, it's good to do that, because as you meditate it, you chew it and you chew it and you get different things out of it, and the Holy Spirit begins to work on that word and expand it for you, and you see it in a different light. And I realized that as I studied that and thought about it and meditated, that those three words are all interlinked: righteousness, peace and joy. Because you cannot have peace without righteousness. Because the word of God says in Isaiah, there is no peace for the wicked. Are you wicked? Well, that tells me that if we're righteous, we should be in peace. So, and also, I realise that there's no joy if you've got no peace. You can't rejoice if you've no peace in your heart. If there's turmoil there, then there's certainly no joy. And we all know that the world, their analysis of something like this, they don't understand righteousness, so they can't even enter into it, because it's by the Holy Spirit. But for the ungodly, peace is the absence of trouble. Well, I've got news for you. It's never going to happen. So we may as well decide here and now, are we going to make a quality decision? No matter what's happening on the outside, we're going to live in peace, God's peace. And I'll show you why that is really important in a minute. And joy doesn't exist for the ungodly, only happiness. And as we know, happiness is dependent on circumstances. If things are going good, well, we're doing really good. And if they're not, well, we're down in the mouth and I don't want to live sometimes. It gets as bad as that. But this is not kingdom living. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I'm not here to condemn any of us, because I think nobody can hold the hand up and say, I've arrived. I can't. I can still get ticked off. And I can still have my moments. And I'm sure we all can. But God says that's what the kingdom is. And God's desire is that we attain to kingdom living 24/7. So we're just going to go through a few things here as to how we can reach that. But for a start, we'll never do it in our own strength. We have to make the decision to submit to God, and the Holy Spirit does the work as we submit to him. So firstly, one thing that is really, really important is that we understand righteousness. And I'm not going to go deeply into that. But righteousness simply means right standing with God. And I think this will help you to understand it. Right standing is, I'm as righteous as Jesus. Ouch, does that hurt? I am as righteous. In fact, I think we'll all say it. I am as righteous as Jesus. I'm as accepted by the Father as Jesus. I am accepted by the Father as Jesus. I am loved by the Father as much as Jesus is loved. Come on. I am loved by the Father as much as Jesus is loved. He provides for me. He protects me. He gives me everything that I need. This is the foundation for peace, because we are in right standing with God. We didn't earn it. Every day when you get up, you might crawl out of bed and feel you don't deserve it. But I've got news for us. We don't go on feelings, do we? Our feelings will lead us astray. We were thinking somewhat about that on Sunday. I don't feel the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit said he's with us continually. Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit who would abide within us, and he's there 24/7. So we've no need to go on our feelings, because the Holy Spirit does what he says he does. Now, peace has to be continual no matter what the circumstances. And I want you to get into to realise a secret that is very important, that peace is power. The world is searching for peace, and outside of God it will never ever find it. There is no peace outside of God. But for us, we have peace. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but he said, fear not, for I have overcome the world. And in him we'll have victory every time. But peace is power. When a person is in peace, they're in control. Have you noticed that? Have you ever had an argument with somebody on the phone? For instance, something that ticks me off, always has done, and I'm getting better, I'm improving, but what ticks me off is when, for instance, I want to ring a credit card company, and the credit card is registered in Andrew's name. And they'll say to me, I'm sorry, but I cannot give you any information. I have to speak to the credit card holder. But I'm married to him. I am the other half. We are one flesh. And you can hear this deathly silence at the end of the phone. They don't understand any of God's principles. His money's my money, and my money's my own. And there we go, see? That's true, that's true. That's a woman every time. We can spend his money. But the credit card companies don't understand that, and they stand their ground. And I really, my blood pressure goes up, and sometimes I can bang the desk and shout and scream and kick. But eventually, I have to hand the phone over to Andrew, and they say to him, what's your date of birth? And all the rest of the rubbish. And they have to say who he is. It never used to be that way. You know, I could just say, I'm Mrs. Grace Goldburn. That's fine. That was my password. That was my ticket through. And I could do and ask what I wanted to do. But let me tell you, they don't not accept a cheque that's not signed by him. When we pay the card, they'll take my cheque, but they won't give me any money, but that's by the by. But there we go. And when I've got into arguments with these people, or any other issues, you get a lot, don't you, in your business life, when people want to argue and get annoyed. And when I was working at Miller's, I used to get a lot of unhappy customers who wanted to read the Riot Act. But if I lost my temper, I'd lost the argument. I tell you now. The minute you lose your peace, the minute you get into an irritable temper, forget it. You've lost it. It's gone. You can't regain it. You may as well just end the conversation there and then. And so we know that peace is power. When a person is in peace, they're in control. We see that with Jesus in the boat, don't we? He said to the disciples, let us go to the other side. And the devil sent a storm above storms. And the disciples were terrified. They were way out of control and not loving it. And they could not understand how Jesus could be asleep in the back of the boat and just not taking a bit of notice He wasn't moved one iota. He was in control. He was in peace. And I just think about that and I think, could I be in peace in that situation? But God wants us to be at peace, no matter how difficult the situation is, because he is our peace. And we know that he stood up and he spoke to the wind and the waves and he said, peace, be still. We see that when Jesus was before Pilate, he was in control, not Pilate. Pilate said, don't you know that I have the power to destroy you? And he said to them, he said, no, you don't. You don't have the power to destroy me. You can't take my life. I am in control of my life. He was in control. You remember when, I think it was that situation when they got to the side with the boat, the madman of Gadara came out, the demonized man, and it took, I don't know how many chains to hold him down. And he would snap all his chains, and he came running and roaring and shouting towards Jesus. Did Jesus lose it? No. His peace, he said, I'm in control. And he spoke to him, and he commanded the demons to leave him. So if we want to know if it's possible to have peace in the ultimate circumstances, then I've got to say, yes, it is. Because he is our peace. He's our example. We are co-heirs with Christ. Everything that's available to Jesus is available to me and to you. So no excuse. No excuse. If we're in Christ, we have got the ability, because it's the Holy Spirit who does the work in us. In John chapter 14 and verse 27... I'm reading from the Amplified because it's a good rendering. John 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world do I give it to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And in brackets it says, stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And don't permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Has anybody ever been one of those? Oh, Ellen's emphatic. No. We have, haven't we? All of us. I've got to ask myself, have I ever been in a situation where I've been agitated, disturbed, fearful, intimidated and cowardly? Unsettled. Goodness me. Oh, we've a way to go, haven't we? But the Holy Spirit in us, if we can remain in his peace, we can overcome all of these intimidations that the devil throws at us. The reason why we need to be in peace, and I want you to really get a hold of this, the importance for you to remain in peace is because the Holy Spirit is described as a gentle dove. Now, will a gentle dove stay where there's... If I go out in the garden and I see a dove and I go... what's happened? It's gone. It's gone in a second. It's taken its wings and gone. And that's exactly the same with the Holy Spirit. When we get agitated and unsettled and we get intimidated by the devil, we're not going to win. Because we're in control and the Holy Spirit's not in control. He can only operate where there's peace. Let's remember that. Peace, peace. It's so important. Peace is power because peace allows the Holy Spirit to operate. Isaiah said, in quietness and confidence will be your strength. Peace, peace, peace. Jesus sent out the 70 to do many mighty miracles, didn't he? He sent them out two by two. And he said to them, go out into the cities and the towns, and whatever town you enter, find a house and speak your peace to that house. But if your peace returns to you, shake the dust off your feet and be gone. So here we see the Holy Spirit. They were going out to do mighty signs, wonders and miracles, but they couldn't do mighty signs, wonders and miracles if the Holy Spirit wasn't present. And if the house that they went into was not a house of peace, then nothing was going to happen. Hey, we were talking about Wednesday. on Wednesday. We want to see signs, wonders, miracles. We want to see and know and experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. One basic, fundamental thing for that to happen is we must remain in peace. No matter what, no excuses, peace has to be our umpire. When we make a decision, peace has to be our umpire. The umpire is the one who shouts whether the ball's in or out. And so the umpire is the Holy Spirit, and he tells you whether it's right or whether it's wrong. We need to be listening and sensitive to him. It becomes quite plain when you see how important peace is, why the devil is always wanting to stir you up. He's always wanting to do something to get you afraid and to get you out of peace, because then he can take your power off you. He can win against you. Oh, if only we would catch on to this and just live lives of peace in the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not saying that it's easy, and the devil will wind me up with different things to what he'll wind you up with. And for some people are facing really difficult situations, I know. But I'm quoting the Word of God, and God says that we have his peace. His peace remains with us. He left his peace with us. So peace we have, and it is possible in whatever situation we find ourselves to be in peace. Look at Philippians. I read this verse years ago when I was all agitated and God needed to settle me down. And I was reading Philippians and I read this verse and it hit me. Have you ever been reading your Bible and something hits you straight between the eyes and you think, oh, ouch, okay God, this is it, this is what you're saying to me. Philippians 1 and verse 28. Again, this is from the Amplified Version. And don't for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents or your adversary. For such constancy and fearlessness will be a clear sign, a proof and a seal to them of their impending destruction. But it will be a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God. I think that's beautiful. Paul said, you stay in peace. You don't be intimidated in any way by the devil. And that will be a sure sign that you've got the victory and the devil's lost. Come on, highlight it in your Bibles. Print it on your mirror. Peace, peace, peace is a sure sign you've won and the devil's lost. If you get agitated, uh-oh, you're about to lose. It's time to quit. It's time to turn around, walk the other direction and get into peace. Ask God for his peace. We don't do anything unless we've got God's peace. How do we attain this peace? Still in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to read from verses 4 to 6. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let all men know and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near, he's coming soon. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your wants known to God. And the God of peace, that tranquil soul state of the soul, assured of its salvation through Christ, fearing nothing, and being content with its earthly lot, whatever sort that is, that peace, which passes all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The way to that peace is to give your requests to God. Now, how many times Have we focused on something, dwelt on it, and rehearsed it for days and tried to work it all out? Well, God said to us to remain in peace when something comes against you, when you've a difficult decision to make, when things are tough. The only way to deal with it is to give it to God. And when you give it to God, leave it there. Don't bring it back with you. Leave it there. And he will deal with it. When we're not able to do that, we're saying, God, you're not big enough to deal with this. I have to deal with this. Now, tell me, is there anything that can come against you that you're better equipped to deal with than God is? I don't know of anything. From the smallest thing to the biggest thing, I'm not capable of dealing with it, because at some point it's going to stress me out. The only way that I can live in peace is to give it to God at that point when I realise what's happening. When the situation immediately comes up, give it to God there and then and walk away from it. Because when you do that, you will be showing God you have confidence and you trust him. You know, one of the biggest, I was looking at some of the products that we sell, and the biggest seller in all of our range is this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I think that is something that all Christians obviously need reminding about, because they've got it on all sorts of things, and they stick it on the fridge and they stick it on the mirror, and it's a bookmark in the Bible and it's a magnet and all these things. Trust in the Lord. It's something that we all seem to have to work at. So we're none of us the exception to the rule, I'm sure. But I'm going back to it. We can live in peace, continual peace, because God says he leaves his peace with us. If we will submit to God, if we will give everything to God, leave it at the cross, walk away from it. Don't try and work it out. Don't try and sort it. Just leave it with God. Let him open up the way. Just get into peace. Peace will bring you through in victory. That's when you're in control, in that sense. God's in control, really, but that's when you show God, I trust you. I know you're going to work this for my good. I know it will work out well. And because of that, we can have joy. And what is joy? Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You can't... What better can you have than being right standing with God, live in his peace and in his joy? You've got righteousness, that's knowing who you are. I'm co-heir with Christ, he's my brother. He's the king, but I'm a co-heir with him. I'm loved as much as he is. I'm protected as much as he was. I've got everything, as much as Jesus had, I have. I've got peace, I've got power, I've got joy, I've got strength. What more do we want, folks? Righteousness, peace and joy will ensure that we win every time. Do you want to be a winner?
Yes.
Let's live in righteousness, peace and joy. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. It sounds really easy. But it is easy because it's you that's doing the work. And so, Holy Spirit, this afternoon we submit. We submit to your peace. And we say, Holy Spirit, come in your power and come and fill us with your peace from top to toe, that we will learn to trust God in every situation, to release everything to you and let you do the work, because, Lord, we want to win every time. And Lord, we can be winners in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.